This is Bill Rich. I'm here to explain about a well-kept secret for the last 60 years on a product called MSM, methyl sulfonyl methane. Methyl sulfonyl methane comes down in rainwater. It is a nutritional sulfur that's so water-soluble every time they wash, dry, steam, homogenized pasteurized or cauterized, MSM is gone because it goes with the moisture. But actually, it's the third largest ingredient in all living things. We're made up of water, salt, and MSM. You probably remember seeing a dog go out and chew on a blade of grass and suck on it. That's because he craves the MSM. Cats will eat your houseplants to get it. Now, if a dog goes deficient, he gets itchy skin and he digs till he bleeds. That is not a flea allergy, that's MSM deficiency. Birds, when they go deficient, get itchy skin and they pull their feathers out until they're bald. Now, can you imagine an itch that you can never scratch? When they pull their feathers out, it hurts, but temporarily interrupts the itching. But when they're out of feathers, they have nothing else to hurt, so they really suffer. MSM is in the aloe vera plant and wheatgrass juice that makes you feel better and heals you quick. Now, the vitamin pill people missed it because they were looking for chemical sulfurs. Sulfur is what we put in a wound to burn and cauterize the tissue. Sulfites they put in your cornflakes to poison them so you can leave them on the sink 6 months and nothing will eat them except people. Dumb things. Sulfates they put in your sausages. Basically, all of us are allergic in one level or another to sulfas, sulfites, and sulfates, which are normally referred to as chemical sulfurs. MSM is a nutritional sulfur, so it is in the sulfur family, but it's often referred to as sulfonyl. If you're allergic to it, you're dead, because you're made up of water, salt, and MSM. Now, the way they found it, if you've ever been near a paper mill, you can smell it 5 miles away. That was a product called DMSO, a solvent that ran out of the paper pulp. They used to try and get rid of it by spraying it on dirt roads, but deer went out and licked holes in their roads. And so it wasn't the best way to get rid of it. So they gave it to Dr. Jacobs up at the Oregon Health Sciences University and said, "What is this stinky stuff?" He says, "DMSO, one drop in your big toe, you feel great. You smell like you're dead, but nobody's sure how dead." So socially, it didn't become too practical. Finally, he found out he could oxidize the DMSO and cause the sulfur to crystallize and separate from the stinky solvent. That's MSM. They then took the solvent and sold it to your gas company to put in your gas lines as a fragrance, because natural gas doesn't have an odor and it can kill you. So when you turn your stove on, you're smelling DMSO. Now, when this first came out, it came out as a multi-level called Dunsmuir Corporation. The high binders waited till there was a lot of money in the till and hit the till and broke it. The government came down on Dr. Jacobs, and they gave him a lot of trouble. And finally, it got to courts, and it was ruled that it's a food, not a drug, not a food additive, so it's available to us. After that, everybody fought for horse owners. Horse owners need $300 worth at a time. Kitty cats only need $3 worth. Well, who's going to spend their time talking to kitty cat owners when they have horse owners? So nobody thought you and I and the kitty cats were important enough to spend any time teaching us about it. The way I came across it is back in 1970, I was in an accident driving a Dodge A100 van. The seat belt would not release, the engine caught on fire, and it cooked me for 20 minutes. It charcoaled me from the armpit down below the right knee, clear of the bone. The only thing that saved my leg was the tendon behind my knee didn't burn into. So when they grafted me, the skin went down, out around it, and back in and down. I was flat, I was purple, and I had 65 feet of grafting marks when they got through sewing me together. If I walked a block, I hurt so bad I cried at night, trying to sleep for 17 years. Finally, a veterinarian recommended I try the MSM sulfur, and in 3 days I could outmarch my troops. I'm a command sergeant major in the Oregon State Defense Forces. In charge, of course, the flag details, where we get to march and all the parades and all that kind of good stuff. Well, I was still flat and purple, and Dr. Roger Bell had carpal tunnel and didn't want to have his wrist cut. So we put the MSM in a lotion that I had, and he rubbed it in his wrist, and in 2 weeks, the carpal tunnel was gone. I got thinking about that flat, ugly, purple skin that I had. There wasn't enough blood vessels in it to hardly keep it alive. So I rubbed the lotion in, and it concentrated the MSM below the skin, and the flesh started to grow in because it went with the vitamin C. And I turned round, and with all this new flesh, I turned pink because I had new blood vessels. So being round and pink, that was pretty good. But after 20 years of ugly with 65 feet of keloid scar tissue, I'm now down to 1.5 inches. I'm 63, I'm 35 mentally, and I have no intention of growing up. And I'm getting so handsome, I'm looking for a chick with some padding to ride on the back of my motorcycle so I can raise another family. Now, MSM is not only the third largest ingredient in your body, it's your flexible bond between protein. When a cell dies and a new cell takes its place, without MSM it attaches, but it becomes rigid. That causes wrinkles, cracking skin, scar tissue, hardening of arteries, and emphysema. Smoking does not cause emphysema. That's another lie like some of our temporary elected officials keep telling us. Horses get emphysema, dogs get emphysema, and they never smoke. What happens is every time you create a new molecule of flesh, you destroy one of vitamin C. So if you don't get enough vitamin C, things get thinner and thinner and weaker and weaker. Some people refer to it as the W.C. Fields nose. Eventually, if you get weak enough, you rupture internally and you bleed to death, called scurvy. The sailors sucked on limes to get their vitamin C, and they were called limeys. Well, chronic nose bleeding, bruising, varicose veins, spider veins, weakened heart, a heart attack, and stroke are all weak veins and arteries. Now, it's like having bricks in the backyard. If you have a certain given number of bricks, you can have a short, stocky wall or a long, thin wall. The only way it can be different is you got to get some more bricks. Take enough vitamin C and all your veins and arteries, and your tissue gets thick and strong. But we have a problem where it's called hardened arteries. Because a lack of MSM, when the new cell attaches, it becomes rigid. Now, if your veins are hardened and they can't expand and contract to let different volumes of blood through, if you try and squeeze a large volume of blood through a small opening, you have a squirt gun effect, and that's high blood pressure. If they've expanded and they can't contract, then they're called varicose spider veins. Now, the MSM puts the flexibility back in all your tissue. It also makes your cells leaky. Because if you shove a rubber hose up your nose and pour something in it, it's going out through the far end of it. It doesn't stop in between, but your veins and arteries are going through lots of tissue, and they have to be able to leak fluids to feed the tissue and to pick up toxins. So MSM is what makes your tissue leaky and flexible. When people are smoking a lot, they burn lung tissue with the hot gases. And you need an awful lot of vitamin C to rebuild all those dying and dead cells. If you run out enough vitamin C, then the lungs get thin and weak. Without MSM, they're leathery, and you're not getting good oxygen through the lung walls because they're not leaky. When they lose their flexibility, we try and expand and contract to get a deep breath of air. You're limited. That's called emphysema. Now, when the lungs get thin and lose their flexibility, sometimes they tear. Then you get what they call a keloid scar. Now, a keloid scar is like a person's welding. If he has the right temperature and right alloys, the metal flows together and is very strong, and you have a seamless weld. If it sputters and spits a lot, you have a gobbed-on-looking mess called slag. It's a very weak, but it kind of holds things together. Sometimes you get a cut, and when it heals, there's no sign that you'd ever had a cut. Next time you get a cut, you have what they call a permanent scar, which is a keloid. All that is a lack of the right building materials, so your body gobs something together to keep you going. Later on, as those cells die and new cells take their place, if they have the right building material, then the scar flows down and goes away. Now, diverticulosis is basically the same thing. Your colon has lost its flexibility and it's not pulsing right, and the old feces gets hard and clayish. The walls of the colon are leathery and you're not getting good nutrition through the walls. So people are into high enemas, roughage, Metamucil to try and break the clay loose. That's treating symptom, not cause. When you take MSM and it puts the flexibility back in the colon and makes things move along, and the nutrition can get through the walls, then diverticulosis doesn't exist. Now, thinking of the cells in the body as water balloons. You've probably heard of people where the weather changes and their big toe hurts. That's because the outside pressure drops. And that water balloon outside is leathery, so that the fluids can't flow through the wall easy, equalizing pressure. So when the outside pressure drops and the inside pressure is greater, it inflates. And that's called inflammation. Now, it doesn't matter whether they call it rheumatoid, osteo, bursitis, tendonitis, hip dysplasia. Those are all owies. If you don't believe it, ask your kids. They'll tell you. Now, aspirin shuts the nerve off, but the cell is still damaged. MSM makes it leaky so the fluids can flow through the membrane, equalizing pressure, taking toxins out and getting nutrition in. That's why often within 20 minutes of taking MSM, people have pain relief. This is also why it'll kick a hangover in 20 minutes. Alcohol is trapped in the cell and it's dying of oxygen starvation. Dying cells is a hangover. They tell me if they take enough MSM, about 3 teaspoons, when they go drinking, they can't even get a decent buzz on. They don't kill enough cells to go dumb. Now, your eyeball is also a water balloon. It has a lot of blood vessels to the back to feed it. There's none in front or you wouldn't be able to see through it. So it depends on your tear glands to feed the front of the eye. When the tear glands run out of MSM, which is what makes them leaky so the fluids can flow through the tear gland easy, they call it dry eye. Now, when the eye itself runs deficient of MSM, it starts losing its flexibility. Now, normally, the eye, being a water balloon, has muscles that push and pull, changing the shape and contour of it to focus. If it gets hardened and can't bend far enough, then you have to use artificial lenses to compensate for the curvature, so you're into permanent lenses. Now, the eye itself has to be leaky because there's a lot of fluids in it, and they get little blood spots, particles, and floaters build up. Normally, the fluids can come out through the membrane and go through a filter, cleaning those out of the fluid. But if it's leathery and it can't go through there, then the particles build up. Pretty soon you're looking through a frosted lens called a cataract. The doctor's answer is cut it out, throw it away, and put a plastic one in. You can see through it okay, but because it can't change shape, you're permanently into lenses. When you add MSM to the diet, it puts the flexibility back in the eyeball and makes the eye leaky so it can clean out all the particles out of your fluid and you get your vision back. Glaucoma is where the outside pressure drops, the inside pressure is greater, and the eye inflates. So you use the eye drops and it makes it leaky, and often within 20 minutes you'll lose about 5 points on the pressure scale. Now, on the ears, people are often told that loud noises make us go deaf. Well, I have a son that's into African fertility music, and without a loincloth and spear, 15 minutes of it, and I'm nervous. He isn't deaf, but he has 16-inch woofers in his Honda and a 100-watt amplifier, and he says if you don't feel the music in your blood and your eyeballs cross on the bass beat, it's not loud enough. In your ears, you have an eardrum that, when there is a pressure variation, makes the drum move, and that moves the arm and the hammer that beats on the anvil that gets your attention. When that gets hardened and it can't flex, you lose your hearing ability, so you use an amplifier to try and bend that, called a hearing aid. If you use the eye drops in your ears, the MSM soaks into the membrane, putting the flexibility back in it, so get your hearing back. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been hard of hearing. Now, all your amino acids, methane, cysteine, lysine, are sulfur bonders. Now, without the MSM being the building blocks of your body, they build glands, and the glands put out hormones and enzymes that are thermostats for chemical production. When you're not controlling your chemicals right and you put out too much stomach acid, you have ulcers. Tagamet covers up symptom. MSM corrects problem. Usually in 3 days we're off the Tagamet, and after 30 days can eat a Mexican dinner with jalapenos. Women, when they have enough MSM in their diet, when they hit a monthly cycle, they don't have the headaches, the cramps, the nausea, or heat flashes. They go in and out of cycle smoothly. Now, a doctor down in Santa Monica had migraine headaches once a week for 30 years. She said she was either starting a migraine, recovering, or in the middle of it. She's now been 2 years migraine-free. Now, in Australia, when the Aborigines came into the town from the outback, invariably became diabetic. When they go back in the outback, their diabetes would go away. The doctors there wrote books on processing of food as being related. What they missed was, in the outback, the fellow didn't have any water to spare, so he'd pull roots out of the ground, shake the dirt off of it, and eat it. He wouldn't wash, dry, steam, homogenize, pasteurize, and cauterize everything like they did in town. So he was getting his MSM. Now, thinking of diabetes this way, think of yourselves a little factory. You have city streets called capillaries, and you have freeways called arteries. You have a company working for you, like UPS, but instead of driving OD trucks, they drive little red pickups called red cells. The little red cells run up to a warehouse and pick up supplies. Run down the freeway, jump on the city street, pull up to the little factory, offload their supplies, and pick up the garbage. And the next day, they do the same thing. When he arrives, if there's a padlock on the door of the factory, like UPS, he tries to make an attempt the next day to deliver the supplies. Now, if he keeps going back there and there's still a padlock on the door, he can't deliver them, and the supplies start stacking up in the back of the pickup truck. Eventually, they fall out on the freeway. Then you have to have street sweepers go out there and start cleaning up all the garbage off the freeway. That's called insulin. Now, you have a department in charge of the street sweepers. But when people start pricking their finger and reading the amount of sugar that's in the blood and inject insulin in there, they're not in communication with the insulin department. And the insulin department gets very upset over this, because if you're going to be shooting insulin in there and he's going to be putting insulin, without knowing what you're doing, you can overdose and kill yourself. So he gets mad and he says, I quit, I'm going on vacation until you think I can do my job right. Then I'll go back to work. But as long as you're interfering and you're not talking to me, I don't know what I can do to keep you going. Chromium and vanadium are trace minerals. Now the word trace means itsy bitsy little bits. They are like bungee cords. They hold the supplies in the back of the pickup truck. Now when it says trace minerals, they're talking about very small amounts. MSM is the third largest ingredient in your body, but we're talking about tablespoons. These little bits are called trace minerals, but we often are mega dosing with them, hoping some can get into the tissue. But as long as the padlocks are on the doors and you've got detours on the freeways, you can't utilize it properly. Now, you can have all the bungee cords in the world and just keeps holding more and more supplies in the back of the pickup truck. But if they get high enough, they're still going to fall out and you still have the same problem. Covering up symptoms is not the answer. The answer is to take the padlocks off the doors and open up the freeways so the little red pickups can go down on the city streets and deliver their supplies. And then the insulin department goes back to work and you're not insulin dependent anymore.